Again, welcome everyone back to our viewing this afternoon. It's really nice to be with all of you here today. We're going to talk about the two major teachings concerning A Course in Miracles, namely the notion of forgiveness, and then secondly, creativity. And what becomes extremely important for us to understand is you really can't be creative until you first forgive. So we'll talk about the three notions of forgiveness, and then we'll move into creativity. Again, this is the joy. This is the fun of the Course in Miracles. It's not all sober stuff. This is just the fun. So let's begin, first of all, with the notion of forgiveness, the very first area. The first area of forgiveness is you must forgive yourself for not remembering who you truly are. And that's probably the most difficult area of forgiveness. Most people, in a sense, do not see themselves as eternal creative souls. Most people simply see themselves as limited human beings living in the world. For most people, your life circumstances and your physicality, they take over your sense of self. And we don't see ourselves as the creative souls that we're really meant to be. Now, the Course gives us a very beautiful understanding as to why that happens. I want you to know this, and when you know this, you can then understand the Course so much better. The Course says the reason why we get so involved in the things of the world and in our physicality is because of what it calls special relationships. You have to know what it means by a special relationship. Most of us like to be special. And the Course would say, no, 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 no. By a special relationship, what the Course simply means is it's substituting someone or something else rather than having the God Spirit at the center of your life. Just say it again. A special relationship is a substitution of anything for the God Spirit within yourself. Let me say, that's easy to do because there's a lot of things that are very pressing in the world. Again, I'll define it as the substitution of anyone or anything where it becomes more prominent than the God Spirit within your life. So that anyone or anything could be a relationship. That's usually where most things occur. We have relationships with people, but it could be a variety of other things. It can be a career. Can be that certain profession in life. It can be entertainment, can be money, and there's a whole array of physical pleasures. Everything from simply traveling here and there to sexuality, food, etc. So that a special relationship, quite frankly, it's usually not just one thing, but it's a variety of things. There's a variety of things in which you can get lost. It's not that they're bad, because they're all part of life. It's just when we get lost in them and we fail to understand that they have taken the place of the God Spirit within us. So we lose that sense of being united to the Source because we're so involved in all of the stuff that's going on in life. That's what a special relationship is in the Course, the substitution of anything for your connection to the God Spirit. And of course, whenever you substitute anything for the connection of the God Spirit, even though it doesn't seem like this, although we'll see it later on, what you're substituting unfortunately diminishes because you don't have the God Spirit in it. That's very, very important. We'll talk more about that as we progress. But the Course, on the other hand, also gives us, in a sense, a beautiful way of getting out of the special relationship. And the way to get out of the special relationship, the Course will say, is most special relationships, all special relationships, are a result of a mistaken identity. It is just the best understanding that we mistook our identity. We thought we were related to something else, or someone else, rather than to the Source energy that is within ourselves. So when you can understand, in a sense, the way out of the special relationship, is to realize, well, geez, I made a mistake. I had a mistaken identity. I got so involved in what I was engaged in that I forgot that presence that was more deeply within me. A lot of the stuff suffered because I forgot of that presence, and we'll talk more about that later on, but it became so involved, so overwhelming, that it became who I thought I was. You have to forgive yourself. And by that I mean it's remembering who you are. Remembering that you are that idea in the mind of God and you've not left your source. The second notion of forgiveness is a little easier in one sense. Essentially what it boils down to is that it's forgiving yourself for not remembering that you are connected to the source. So it's very important for us to understand the fact that we have not left our source. That sitting here right now, each one of us is in that connection, that direct relationship to the source. We must not forget that we are a part of the source and have not left it. But there's one other big thing you have to remember. Are you ready for it? Okay, ready for a big thing, not a little one, big one. The source is a creating energy. The source has created everything. Because the source is a creating energy, and you have not left your source, guess what? You are a creating energy. See, it's one thing to be satisfied and saying, oh, we've not left our source. Well, that's nice. But the real thing is, the source is a creating energy. And so if you have not left your source, you continue to be a creating energy. We'll talk more about that as we progress. This is a very important thing for us to understand. We are here to create. We are here to express, which is exactly what the source has done. It has created not just all of the world, but it's also created each one of us. And our goal is to simply, kind of like that Plato guy said, to know and become like the source, to create intelligently, kindly. Well, doesn't that say a lot? To create intelligently, kindly, because we can. It's the nature of who we are. It's the third area of forgiveness, however, sometimes it gets a little tough. It's not difficult to understand, it's just difficult at times to experience. And that very idea within the Course, the third area of forgiveness is, well, once you understand that you are an idea in the mind of God that has not left its source, well, so is everyone else. So is everyone else. Everyone else is an idea in the mind of God. They may have forgotten that they're still an idea in the mind of God, and they too have not left their source. We're not responsible for anyone. Everyone will come back to the source because you cannot not come back to the source, no matter how far you might sojourn. But we can assist people. And what the Course does, it gives us about 4 or 5 levels of assisting people. And this is what I'd most like to share with you. I'm going to edit these a little bit, as I do every once in a while. But I think these are very important things for us to understand. Let me also say, I cannot tell you just in this past week how the recognition of what I'm going to say now has helped so many people to understand not just their lives better, but their families' lives better. It has helped them so much to understand And these are such very important principles for us. Let me say on the positive side that when one of the women left our seminar on Sunday, she said, "I just want to go out and love everyone." Well, that's what we all want to do. Sometimes it's just hard to love those difficult, obnoxious people. So while we can love most people, what do we do with the tough ones, the hard cases, and so on? So let me suggest these four or five things to you. The first one is what the Course of Miracles reminds us more than anything else, and that is that the difficult or obnoxious person, they are truly stuck. And they are crying out, in Course in Miracles language, for help and union. They are stuck and don't know that they're stuck and are sometimes rather arrogant and like to be standoffish, but they are stuck. They are crying out for help and union. And of course, all we can do is assist them, but it's very important to realize that we can assist to the best we can, but that doesn't mean sometimes you can really help people overtly by way of action. We'll talk about a couple of other things in a moment, but sometimes you can't do anything not because you don't want to, but because the person at that time is not able to be receptive, not just to you, but not receptive to a lot of other things in their lives as well. So the second thing that comes into play, we've talked about this notion before, that it is hurting people who do hurtful things. That's a very important thing for us to do it. People that do hurting things are often still doing the best they can. Either they don't know any better, they're ignorant, or they're simply weak. One of my greatest experiences in life was to finally come to understand if someone is not doing the best they can, it's not because they don't want to, but rather they think they're doing the best they can, and either they don't know any better or they're too weak to do it.
Or impaired in some way,
of course. Sure. So in some way, shape, or form, you begin to realize that anyone who is doing something hurtful is hurting. That is just such a huge thing for us to be able to understand. And yet, the hurting person must still be seen as child of God. Well, that's a bunch. The hurting person must still be seen as child of God. We have a gentleman who has been just a wonderful, wonderful soul, and certainly in my life. And he was telling me about his progression on dealing with very difficult family members. He said 5 years ago, when he saw these family members, he would start seething on the inside, just seeing them. Couldn't wait to get out of their presence, and usually argued with them whenever he was in their presence. About 3 years ago, he finally began to realize that, all right, I need to understand them. They're stuck. So he finally began to understand them. Now, at that stage, to see them as child of God was still beyond any attempt of his. He then had to move to kind of that next stage, which was very, very important, and that is not to break the energetic unity with such people. Because as soon as you break the energetic unity with that person, then you've gotten back into that state of separation. You've reduced yourself back to the state of being alienated from the other. So it's a very important thing not to break the energetic unity with the other. That ability not to break the energetic unity with another is so vitally, vitally important. So what he's been able to do now is to, okay, I don't get mad at them anymore, so that's kind of nice. I can understand them. Okay, I'm not going to break the energetic unity with them because I know if I do that, then I just slip myself. Now, He still hasn't gotten to that point of loving them, oh my gosh, wishing them well, and seeing them as child of God. But he's working on it. Do you see the steps that are involved, though? It's just such an important thing. You realize that they're crying out for help and union, but it's more than that. They're stuck. So you realize that it is hurting people that do the hurtful things. So it becomes very important for us to understand they are doing the best they can. You have to understand, they're doing the best they can. May not be what you would like, and 10 years from now, they may look at it differently. Hey, 10 months from now, they might look at it differently. But it's very important not to break our energetic unity, to see them as child of God, and to the degree that we can, that we would love them when they are in our presence, because they will pick up our vibrations of separation if we don't. It's one thing to say they're crying out for help and union. It's quite another to love them, see them as child of God, and to maintain an energetic vibration with them. Does that make sense? I mean, these are the elevations of awareness that we're moving into. All the while, realizing that, quite frankly, you can't do much at times. But they are eternal souls as well. So this last little comment before we move into creativity, which is really kind of fun, the last comment is, as a footnote to all this, if you forgive yourself and try not to mess around in the special relationships too much, if you can remember your oneness with the Source and love each other, all they want to do is love everyone, why would you not do this when it works so much better than the other stuff? Why would we not want to do this when this works so much better than getting mad and upset and angry? You know, if there was a gold mine at the end of being upset and angry, well, fine. But there's no gold mine there. You know, it's just a defunct mine. The key is these things work so much better. But they push us. They push us. But can you see that you first have to forgive yourself, not remembering the divine and each other, before you can be creative? You got to get the playing field cleared before you can be creative. But it's being creative that is really, I think, the most important thing. So what I'm going to suggest to you, that one of the most important things that we can ever understand about the Course is that the primary teaching of the Course, the primary teaching of the Course is not forgiveness. I know many will say that's not the case. But the primary teaching of the Course has been, always will be, creativity. It has always been creativity. It was necessary for us. It was necessary because we've been in seemingly a fallen state, and you can call the fallen state an egoic state, where you can simply say, well, that's the way it's been in the world, however you want to term it. If you want to say we've fallen from grace, whatever it might be, we've had to work ourselves up. But what the Course reminds us is time and time and time again, we're not here just to forgive everyone. Wouldn't that be a pain in the butt? Yeah. All you do is end up forgiving everyone and being understanding, 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 and not get to the creative part, which is really the fun part of why we're here. So what I want to suggest to you is that to really follow our creative function, we just have to kind of know two little teachings and a little distinction somewhere along the way. So here we go. So the first of the two familiar teachings, we know this teaching very well, but we're going to give it a different spin. The first teaching very simply is, you are an idea in the mind of God that has not left its source. Would you write that, please, on your paper? You are an idea. First major teaching, you are an idea in the mind of God, which has not left its source. Sure.
I mean, make it warmer, don't make it cold.
I hear you. And if that's not cool enough, we'll get it even, and if that's not warm enough, we'll get it even warmer. Absolutely. So you're an idea in the mind of God that has not left its source. So now, how many times have you heard that? A gazillion times. Mm-hmm. I'm going to maybe point out something to you that you haven't heard before. You're an idea in the mind of God. So, the key is not that you haven't left the source, which is comforting, but you are an idea in the mind of God. You, as an idea in the mind of God, is what gives you your purpose. You're an idea in the mind of God. You're an idea in the mind of God. Most people get their ideas from the world, and they allow the world to be the source of their ideas. I just want to tell you, you're an idea in the mind of God. There is something within you that is of the mind of God. Just need to tell you that. There's something in you that is of the mind of God. And that's what we need to discern. That something within us that is of the mind of God. This is a very, very powerful teaching for us. Most people still take their sense of direction from what's going on out there, and they don't take the sense of direction from what's going on within them. How can you love everyone out there? Quite frankly, you can't, unless you might have a more universal love within yourself. This is a very important thing, and you'll see when we get to the last part of our presentation today, it's very important for you to discern what the idea of God is in you, because that's the idea in the mind of God that you are. That's what gives you purpose. Do you see that? That's what gives you purpose at the highest level you possibly can have. You can putz around in lower levels, that's fine. But each one of us as an idea in the mind of God understands that we're part of a larger picture. That's what we're here to do, to express the idea that each of us is from the mind of God into physical reality. Does that make sense to you? You're an idea in the mind of God. Well, let's get with it. The second teaching you know quite well. The second teaching is, child of God, you were created to create. Let's just stop there for a moment. You were created to create. Or you might say, you were created to be an extension of the creating energy of God. If you're connected to your source, and your source is a creating energy, what we're here simply to do is then create. With others, certainly. With others, that's part of the fun of it. Part of the fun of it. But, child of God, you were created to create the good, the beautiful, and the holy. Now, don't think you have all this down yet, because we have to add something else to that. Then, right after that, child of God, you were created to create the good, the beautiful, the holy. There are four words in the next sentence that give us a direction. Do you remember those four words? Four words. Child of God, you were created to create the good, the beautiful, and the holy.
How about you cannot not create?
That's pretty good, but no. But that's really good. That's good. You cannot not create. That was good. That was excellent attempt. And you have the gist of it, kind of.
Bringing heaven to earth.
That's pretty good, too.
So go create. Go.
That's only two words. Yeah, two words. Got to be four words.
Go west, young man.
Well, maybe. I don't know. But,
This. We can read.
Yeah. Forget this. There you go. Yay. Save the day, Emily. Save the day. Do you begin to realize that this is the key? Don't forget this. I just want to tell you, it's easy to forget it. Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why it's easy to forget it is you get so wrapped up in all of stuff that isn't you. Don't forget, you're here to create the good, the beautiful, and the holy. And for many of us, we certainly do that in our everyday activities, but still sometimes oblivious to the fact that we're even doing it. So let's try to add a few things to this that I think are extremely important for us. The first thing I just want to suggest to you is that you just absorb these two teachings just for a moment. This is the kernel of the Course in Miracles. You have not left your source. And do you see where this is kind of a capsulation of all of the great traditions of the past? Atman, Brahman, image likeness of God, Plato, Jesus. And you are here to create. Well, it would make sense that you're here to create because you haven't left your source. And the source is a creating energy. It's a creating entity. So obviously, we're here to do this. So let me suggest, though, that in order to do this, there are two distinctions that have to be made. The first thing is that concerning the things in the world, the most important thing for us to be able to do is to bring the presence of God or the mind of God to the circumstances in which we're involved in the world. So the things in the world in which we're engaged, what's very important for us is to be able to bring the mind of God to what we're involved with, rather than getting lost in what we're involved with. Most people have a tendency to get lost in what they're involved in, and that's what we simply call drama. Now, there's nothing wrong with your circumstances of life. The problem is when you get lost in them and you fail to bring to them the mind of God. So the first thing I want to suggest to you is that it's very important that we bring the mind of God to the life situations in which we're involved. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But here's the best part about it. Why would you want to do that? My presumption is so that you can elevate the circumstances in which you're involved from the mind of God. This is a vital, vital notion. The Course would never say, you know, don't get involved in the world. The Course would never say that. What it would say is, hey, why don't you bring the mind of God to elevate the things in which you're involved? Again, I want to say to you, that's why most people love to have us around, because we elevate. We elevate that presence. We raise it up. Now, let me just say, I would suggest that this is becoming easier and easier for many of us now. We have this presence within us. This presence within us is becoming an all-the-time presence. It's the way we are. It has become the mind of God. That's why to model this consciousness as the evolutionary pathway of humanity, don't you think you're doing this? I mean, honestly. You're modeling this consciousness in the everyday circumstances of life so that you might, in a sense, raise up the quality of lives of those around us. It doesn't mean they're always going to respond. It just does mean that we can model this energy. If we're there in what is, we can at least be present in what's there. And I think we're doing that just better and better and better. Hugely important thing. And we're going to do a little work on that in about 5 minutes. The second distinction is very, very important. Now, this is where what I really, 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 really want to talk about. And that is that, yes, that idea in you that is of the mind of God. Now, I'm not talking about the stuff in the world. We've already talked about elevating that. But that which is in you that is of the mind of God, that you creatively bring it forth. That which is in you that is of the mind of God, that's why we're here, that we creatively bring this forward. I'm talking about, again, creatively bringing it forward from your soul, not simply from what's going on outside of you. It's like if you had a blank check to do whatever you wanted, or if you, in a sense, just wanted to do this, that, or other, what would you express in your life? When what I want to suggest to you is that hopefully what you would want to say that if I had a blank check, if I could do anything I wanted, this is what I would do. And if you say to yourself, this is what I would do, that's your idea of God. As soon as you say, this is what I would do, don't worry about anyone else, what anyone else would say. No one here is a mother, you or father, you. Each one of us is here to be a soul. But if you would just say, this is what I would do. This is God's idea of you. This is God's idea of you. And this is the time that I would suggest that we want to bring it forward. So I've talked about these two things. I want to get them straight. The first one we're going to work on is the stuff in which I'm involved in that I want to elevate by my presence. We're clear on that? The second is, what's that idea of God in me that I most want to bring forth in creation right from within me? Is that clear? Let's take out our worksheets then. The worksheet is just on the left-hand side. Now, I'm going to caution you. I know I won't have to. First of all, we're not going to share this with anyone else. So you can write directly, you know, to yourself, you know, to your soul self. And do not do the second section. You know, do not say, oh, I've got this done, I'm going to go to the second section. No. Verboten, forbidden, no. Until I give you some guidance on it. So let's go to the first section. I will bring the Holy Spirit. Does everyone have a copy?
Mm-hmm.
Should have one. Left side. I will bring the Holy Spirit to the events of the world in the following three ways. So by that I mean what you're engaged in, family, friends, society, with whomever, wherever. What are the events of the world to which you would like to bring that elevated presence of God? Am I clear on that?
No.
Just very, very important. Sure. Sorry, read mine. Well, I'm involved in study groups, so it's very important for me to bring my energy to the study groups. That's something that I'm involved in.
Study group, did you say?
Study groups, yeah. I'm involved in study groups. So, yeah, that's my very important thing for me, to bring the best I can to study groups. So we, I'm involved with Nissi. So very important to bring my best to Nissi. Several things we're involved with in life. I work at a company. I bring my best. I was at the company at 6:30 this morning, as a matter of fact, and I had to be there for something. And so it's whatever you're involved in. It could be your garden. But let me just say, it could be yourself. Could be yourself. Are those satisfactory things? Yeah, okay. So I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to do that. So don't take this lightly. This is very, very important. What is it that you would most like to elevate in which you're engaged?
So it's best to be detailed versus broad strokes.
Oh, yes, yes. We want to make sure we had outlines in this packet over here today. We wanted to make sure we could put something online for our viewers. So there's a lot of stuff that you do because, well, you're being creative in the midst of your activity.
And it can be what we're doing or what we would like to do if it's something that...
Not creative, though, not yet. This is just the stuff you're engaged in the world now. Well, no, it can be something in the future, surely.
Okay.
Yes, of course, of course. But it's stuff you're engaged in already. Mm-hmm. What do you want to elevate? What do you want to raise? Ponder, reflect on these things. This is what I most want to do. This is where I want to bring the Spirit into. Let's just take another minute. My presumption might be something like, as you've delineated those three things, you might want to say, like, you know, bring it on. I'm ready. Here we go. Just to be able to, the enthusiasm of being there, and especially having the enthusiasm to elevate from the presence within you. That's the key. Now, with the second section, we're not quite ready to do this yet. Because we have to just put one other little thing on the board here. So I'm going to take these two reminders off. And I just want to briefly summarize the two basic teachings. We've shared this with some of the groups. There's a wonderful book by Thomas Campbell called My Big Toe, which is simply TOE stands for theory of everything, my big theory of everything. And it's one of those big fat books, 800 and some pages. I highly recommend you not read it unless you want to spend a couple of months reading it. It's an awfully big book, and it has a lot of very interesting things and so on. But essentially what it boils down to is there's only two things you have to know, quite frankly. The first one is very simple. Everything comes from a source. So there's one source. Everything comes. From one source. Nothing new to us. Although he does identify what that source is. And that source he simply calls consciousness. Consciousness. Consciousness is the universal first source. It is the uncaused cause. It's the non-physical that's behind everything. So he just calls that consciousness. And of course, that's a very nice thing because it's not just the source is conscious, but here we are as conscious beings. So you can very clearly identify the consciousness within you that is related to the source. There's something within you that is source-like. There's something within you that is a part of that. Very important to understand. So what he then says is the perfection of consciousness. And what he says is the evolutionary pathway, the evolution of all of life is the perfection of your consciousness. This is such an important thing. The evolutionary pathway is the perfection, underline, your consciousness is the perfection of your consciousness. The evolutionary pathway is the perfection of your consciousness. Your consciousness, when aligned with the universal consciousness, that's the pathway of your perfection. That's when you have the realization that you are a creating being, just like the universal creating being. This is what most defines you. Now, I'm going to give you another little phrase before we go to the sheet in just a moment. The little phrase I want to give you is your next best thing. In fact, I'm going to say your next best three things. But that's a nice phrase to help you. Your next best three things. From what you've learned, where you are, what are going to be your next three best things? From within your soul's creativity. I want to say it again. From within your soul's creativity. We're not talking about what's going on out there. We've already done that. We've elevated what we're going to be involved in. So now I'm talking, what is going to be from your soul? What are going to be the next three best things you're going to be engaged in? This is God's idea of you, or this is your idea in the mind of God. So I'm just going to suggest to you, what will be your next three best things from your soul? So go within, go in there and say, okay, what's waiting to come out for me? What am I waiting? What is God's idea of me from my soul self? Am I at least clear? Mm-hmm. Okay, not out there in the world. We've done that already. Soul self, your next best three things. Good, you're pondering. That's pretty important. What am I going to do? What's coming up from within me? Let that soul emerge from within you, your soul self. your creating being. Do not forget this. Your next best thing. Now that's exciting. Let's take another minute. So if someone says to you, well, what's your agenda for the next year or so? Well, here we go. Do you see how creative we are meant to be? Either creative in all of the stuff in which you're involved, elevating, raising, as well as being created from the idea of the mind of God of which you are, so that you might elevate as well. Elevating not only the external, but elevating the internal. You got to be excited about that, huh? I mean, this is the flow of life. This is the creativity. This is the fountain of youth. This is the beauty of which I think we're capable. So, with that in mind, we're going to come to a close. But before we do that, what I'd like us to do is to maybe, let's go back and let's do that Course in Miracles, Our Father again. And let's see if it resonates a little differently with us this time. Just kind of fun. This is just one of these funsy things. So, ACIM version of the Lord's Prayer. Just let's read this just with a little, maybe a little slower and with gusto, okay? Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgiveness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, as tempting as it might be, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen. Well, that was fun, huh? That was just fun just to do this. And I think that's what we feel very, very deeply within ourselves, that's for sure. Do you have any questions or any concluding comments that you'd like to make? Shelley?
Just for the YouTube, when you were reading this and referencing it, it says the seventh section.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Well, I think when he was saying
that. Yeah, thank you, thank you.
So in terms of reference.
Thank you very kindly, thank you. Yeah, it was section 7. It was my fault. Mm-hmm. Text chapter 16, section 7, verse, paragraph 12, verses 1 through 7. Thank you, Shelley. Yeah. You were attentive, Shelley. That's good. Very nice. Thank you very kindly. That was my fault. Okay. Well, let's gather in our little circle and just kind of see where we go. Let me thank everyone again for viewing us on YouTube and other viewing audiences. And we're just going to gather in our circle here and know that we hold you in our circle and extend our loving energy to all of you. Namaste.